What's amazing about this morning is we've actually had about four messages already. We could just offer the doxology, it would be good, it would be really good. So thank you all for participating in this worship service. Thank you for blessing us through that. Our praise team, Barry, leading us with as a service leader, all of the children's chat, Eric, Alan, Sakwan, Joe Quinn, thank you for all that you do to make this a wonderful community of believers. As we move into these next couple of weeks, and as we head into the end of February, we focus on our Mission Sunday. As you know, the last several weeks, we've been talking about a purpose in mission, a purpose in giftedness, that God has gifted each one of us on purpose, that there's a reason why he gives to each of us. There's a reason why that God has given to you and to me specifically areas of giftedness. And as we are moving these next couple of weeks, and we're only going to kind of lay a foundation this morning. In fact, I have 17 pages of notes right here. I don't think we'll get through all 17 today. In fact, I know we won't. I don't even think we'll get through the seven that I was planning to get through today. So you have to come back next week for part two. But as you can see here, one of the objectives of Soul Union Church is to connect, to grow, and to serve. And we're going to focus on that these next couple of weeks as it pertains to what God has given to each of us so that the entire body is built up, the entire body is encouraged, the entire body is benefited. Because God hasn't given anything to any of us for us just to keep to ourselves. The purpose in God's gifting is that we would give it away. I really hope that we would catch that. That we would give away what God has given. And I've said this before, but we cannot outgive God. And if God has gifted us to give, and we give, then he's going to continue to give to us. So this is an amazing thing that God can do. And I would challenge you to consider giving away what he has given to you, because that's what he's intended for us to do with that. There's many, many verses that we can look at as we focus on our giftedness in God. We can look in Romans, and we can look in 1 Corinthians, and we can look in Peter, we can look in Ephesians, and we can see very, very specific verses where it talks about God's gifts, spiritual gifts, that lead to very real, very practical, very personal, very tangible results when we put them into action. As we approach this topic that we're going to consider today and next week, it's vitally important for us to build a base of understanding about diversity within the body of Christ. So we've heard that analogy before. We've used that analogy before. But it might be foreign to some when we talk about a body. We're a body of believers. We're one in the body of Christ. So let's just kind of clarify that for a moment. I have an arm. My arm, this is my right arm. Your right side, my right side, right? My right arm is part of my body. My body is part of the whole. My left arm, my hands, my feet, it all makes up my body. An egg, there's three parts to an egg. There's the shell, there's the yolk, and there's the white. One egg. Oftentimes, we can use that same kind of an analogy when we talk about the triune God. It's one God, exists eternally in three persons. God the Father, God the and God the Holy Spirit. It's a triune, it's the Trinity. It's the eternally existent presence of God, one God, existing in three persons. Sometimes these can seem really complex, particularly to our human finite mind. But let's just make it uber simple, right? Let's just bring it down to brass tacks. We talk about the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are a group collectively of believers or followers in Jesus Christ. we make up the body of Christ. And even the writers in Scripture tell us about there are many parts that make up one body. And as we look at this whole area of spiritual gifts and spiritual giftedness, we see that there's a diversity in that. My arm doesn't do what my leg does. Right? My eyes don't do what my ears do. But there's a diversity in that. And so the foundation of what we're building, what we'll build on for this particular series, is there's that diversity, yet there's unity. There's a oneness, and there's purpose. I was recently thinking along these lines, obviously, in preparation for this, and there's a couple of things that came to my mind. I used to play a lot of racquetball, even competitively. So if I were to get on the racquetball court right now, I wouldn't play anywhere near to the level that I used to play, because I played a lot, and I used to play competitively. And I thought about this. When I play racquetball, I'm right-handed. This is my dominant hand. So when I play racquetball, this is what I hold the racket in. And I was thinking about this. I could go through an entire match. I could play an entire tournament and never use my left arm. I could never use my left hand. Because I go, well, what are you going to do with the ball? You got to hold the ball, drop the ball, whatever. Yeah, I could do that with my same right hand. I could hold the ball, drop it. Anybody play racquetball so you get a picture? Okay, so you're going to drop the ball, and then I'm going to hit. I could do that. I could tie my left hand behind my back because it's never used. Barry, are you right hand dominant or left hand? Right. Do you ever use your left hand in racquetball? Because you slap at the ball, right? Or maybe slap that, I don't know. Anyway, right? I could go through an entire match and I'd never use my left hand. It's just kind of there, right? But it's still part of my body. It kind of gets to experience the match. All right, let me use another example. If you don't play racquetball, here's another one. How many of you drive a vehicle? Okay? How many of you drive an automatic transmission, right? It means you don't have to shift anymore. Manual or automatic? It shifts automatically. Okay. In the cars, the way that they're built, and maybe someplace in the world it's different, when I'm driving, I use my right foot. Right leg, my right foot. I use my right foot to press the accelerator, take it off the accelerator. I use my right foot to step on the brake and take it off the brake. I don't use my left foot. Now, pardon the pun, but my left foot just goes along for the ride. I don't use it, but I'm not going to throw it out the window because it's part of my body. Okay, I know this is tough. You got to hang with me, right? So the next time you go, you get in your vehicle, van, car, okay, this doesn't apply to us scooter riders because we use lots of things at the same time, right? But if you're driving an automatic vehicle, your other foot, your left foot, even if you're left foot dominant, it's just going along for the ride. But it's still part of your body. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at how God has gifted each of us on purpose, with a purpose, for His glory, but for our benefit. Let's just stop and end the service right there, because that's awesome. We could do, as a former superintendent of a school that we used to be at, would say often, full stop. Full stop. God has gifted each and every one of us on purpose, with a purpose, for His glory, but for our benefit. Wow, that's something to thank God for. What happens if I decide to take my left foot because I don't think it's fair or I don't think it's equitable that my right foot is doing all the work when I'm driving? Now, if you've never tried this, don't. But just hang with the example. If you were to take your left foot and move your right foot and cross it over to press the accelerator, it would be a little bit awkward, especially if you had to then come to a sudden stop, because probably what would happen is in the process of removing it from the accelerator to put it on the brake pedal, it probably would hit the brake pedal, and you probably wouldn't stop in the amount of time that you would want. But you understand the example of this. So there's a function and there's a purpose for every good gift that God has given. It's not practical to use my other foot. It's practical to use my right foot, even though some might be left leg or left foot dominant. We still use our right foot. And so it is in the body of Christ that there are particular spiritual gifts that have particular functions that make the body whole and complete. And God has a very specific purpose for each and every one of those gifts. Now, before we get into it, we won't today, our key text from Romans. We're going to jump to 1 Corinthians. And I said before, we can look at Romans, we can look at 1 Corinthians, we can look at Peter, we can look at Ephesians, and we can see what God has to say for us about spiritual gifts. Today, we're going to look a little bit, and I'll just read it for you. And there's several verses, but I want you to really understand what God is speaking to you in this portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's really easy when we're looking at these two portions of Scripture because it's Romans 12 and it's 1 Corinthians 12. So really all you have to do is go, okay, what are the two books, Romans and 1 Corinthians? What's the chapter 12? Just a little cliff note for you. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It doesn't say for the profit of himself, for the profit of them all. I'm reading in a new translation, a New King James translation, by the way. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as he, God, wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, that's all of us, whether slaves or free, that's all of us, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, to be a part of, to fellowship in one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many, many parts, one body. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and yet members individually. Do you ever feel in reading this and contemplating this and thinking about this and finding your place in this, do you ever feel that you're not as important as another? Do you ever feel that you've been left out? Do you ever feel like I do sometimes when it comes to math, okay, all the time when it comes to math-related things, I was absent that day, I think, that God was giving out the math smarts. I think I was just playing in the snow or something. Do you ever feel that you were left out when it comes to the ability to serve God and his kingdom? If your answer, like probably most of us, is yes, then I have great news for you today. Every believer is gifted and chosen by God, the King himself, to serve alongside of him for the advancement of his kingdom. You have been gifted by God on purpose, with purpose, for his glory and for our benefit. Our spiritual gifts are God's provision, enabling us to serve him effectively as a community of believers, or I'm going to put it this way, a community of priests. I've said this before, ministry is not reserved for the clergy alone. Ministry is for all believers in the body of Christ. Is that okay to lay that foundation and leave it there for today? We've had 5 messages today, and I haven't even gotten into page 3 to 7, where 6 points wait for us, let alone pages 8 through 17. We might have to go into Mission Sunday, I don't know. Anyway, is that okay? We're going to leave it there. It's 11:15, and I'm sensitive to that clock, not oversensitive when God is doing the work. But we've had some really good words today, and I think God's going to do the work through this series and through what's already been shared with us in this coming week. Be a person who's willing to be used of God because he's gifted you for such a purpose. Be a person who recognizes that God has put in you something of great value for the benefit of all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for every person who's participated in sharing your love today and sharing your word. Prepare our hearts in these next couple of weeks, Lord, as we look at what you have put into each of us so that we can connect with others, so that we can grow in you and with others, and that we can serve you and this world. For your glory and for your kingdom's sake, we commit ourselves to you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.